Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' I'm Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions. Whether you need a new warehouse line, hedging, or are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Hello, everybody. Happy Monday to you. Good to have you on the program again, and we appreciate you joining us as you do each week. It's December, by the way. I'll try to put this at the top of every program because a lot of people dial in and download this program. So we're talking today, December 14th. Hard to believe that we are already almost through this year. Next week starts Christmas week. Have you gotten your shopping done, Joan Ellis? I don't know.
No.
You know, I want to also put a special thank you out to Blog Talk Radio. They do a great job of hosting this, or providing the technology to make this program possible. So, folks at Blog Talk, thank you so much for giving us this opportunity. For those of you that are dialing in and just tuning in, we see the switchboard loading up. You're out there. For a lot of you that are listening to this live, thank you so much for calling in to this number each week. Pass this number around, for we're here to try to bring you updated information that's going on, the hot topics going on in the interest in the industry, and we're here to digest all of those hot topics and bring it to you. An increasing number of people are downloading this, and you can go to Blog Talk Radio's website, blogtalkradio.com, put in the search box, put Lickin' on Lending, spaced out like a normal sentence. Not all run together, and you'll get to our website, and you can see the previous programs. A lot of people are finding this to be very, very valuable as they listen to us in their cars, Joe and Alice. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Technology. You know what, folks? My dad told me a long time ago, Dave, you know, you're a pretty smart guy, but, you know, it's really good to surround yourself with smart people. We have on our program each week two of the smartest people in their respective areas as we could hope to find. So, Dad, I've been true to the word. I've gotten surrounded myself with some smart people as it relates to the Lickin' on Lending program. Joe, let's head it off at the top of the hour with an update on interest rates.
All right. Well, so far today it's been pretty quiet, although we are at the high for the day. Not a lot of volatility, but, you know, it's no economic announcements today, and so you expect it to be a little quieter on those kinds of days. But one word of caution, just throughout the month of December, we start to enter a time period where there are fewer and fewer people doing trades, or they're getting themselves in a position for year-end, and it creates a volatility more so than usual. And so I just caution you to be aware that, you know, any day things can move in one direction or the other in a fairly volatile way. But this morning, so far, quiet.
Pretty calm. Yeah. What about last week? Rates improved a little bit after Bernanke spoke, and then the investors talked and started going another way. Give us an update. What happened last week?
Well, you know, last week was all about, it seems it was all about inflation. Early in the week, I think it was on Monday, Bernanke made a speech where he was touting the fact that the economy was improving, but that inflation was not a short-term concern, that rates would Fed funds rates would be kept low for an extended period of time. So, yeah, all that's pretty good. The stock market kind of liked what they said, and the mortgage market liked it as well. And first half of the week, mortgage rates fell. Early in the week on Tuesday, there was a short-term treasury auction, the three-year auction, and the auction results for that were pretty positive, pretty strong demand, and yields were right in line with where the market was trading. But then longer-term auctions came up on Wednesday and Thursday, and those are the same kinds of investors that are mortgage-backed security buyers and help to set mortgage rates. And, Dave, the long-term auctions didn't go well.
Not good.
Yeah, well, and it's an indication that there's concern about longer-term inflation, and there should be. You know, we're at very low rates, and it's hard to imagine inflation going much lower than where it's been, and so investors are going to have to start padding their yields with what they expect inflation will do to them, you know, 2, 3, 4 years down the road. But the 30-year auction and the 10-year auction had only marginal bid-to-cover ratios, but the yield required during the auction both exceeded what the market was trading for just before the auction was conducted. And in the past 2 or 3 months, it's been the opposite, where the auction yields were, in fact, lower than the market yield. So this was a bit of a turnaround, and that caused the market, you know, mortgage-backed security prices to fall later in the week or rates to rise. And so net-net, it was about the same as at the end of the prior week, but it took a little bit of a strange, not a strange pass, but it rates improved early and then fell back late.
Fell bad. Okay, we got a big week coming up this week on a lot of economic data.
And what's so important is, as people are trying to dissect numbers to determine future long-term inflation, they're going to get some numbers this week. That both the CPI will be released as well as PPI, and both of those are going to come out. One's PPI is Tuesday morning, and CPI is Wednesday morning. Both will come out before what may be the most important of the events is another Fed meeting announcement. That's going to happen at 2:15 on Wednesday. The Fed will have been able to digest both inflation numbers, and no one's expecting the Fed to make a change in the Fed funds rate, but they are all anxiously awaiting what they might say about, you know, what the future holds and how that might impact, especially for mortgage-backed security investors, how that might impact yields that they require.
So it's a definitely stay tuned to the news, what's going to happen. We could have some market movers in here this week.
Yeah, we really could. Tomorrow and Wednesday are going to be the big days. Thursday, there's some leading indicators and the Philly Fed comes out, but those will sort of be secondary to what will have happened tomorrow and Wednesday.
Well, folks, I tell you, you know, you hear about the rates kind of moving. These rates are low. I mean, relatively speaking, historically speaking, these rates are low. And what a better time to be out there, especially as we get into the next segment. We're going to talk about the legislative update. And there's certainly, again, it's going to be uglier as we move forward. But, Joe, thank you so much for bringing this to us each week. So important. And I get the feedback all the time how much they enjoy your analysis. And, of course, for you folks that don't know it, you could be getting this live information a couple times a day, emailed to you. Stay tuned for this message, and you're going to learn more about this. Thank you.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS QuoteLine delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect and know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS QuoteLine, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS QuoteLine today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Welcome back to the program that helps bring you the latest information about what's going on in the industry, Lincoln on Lending. One person wrote me and said, why'd you use Lincoln on Lending? Because I said, I try to say Lincoln Alice, I mean, Alvy Alice and Farr. I mean, maybe we'll come up with an acronym while all of us are on here. I sure don't want to, don't need my name on it, but it's good to get your feedback. Actually, they're giving me a bad time with someone I knew they like it. But here is, it's not about me. It's really about what we're trying to do is bring you the information about this industry and all that's going on. And, man, there's no other area that's got more going on than in the latest legislative update. And so we also known as, we got a new nickname for it, the traffic report. Alice?
Yeah, Dave, you know, that's what we started to feel like. Okay, we're navigating traffic to try and figure out all this legislation that we have to pay attention to. And it really has become quite a challenge. So what we're going to do is this time around is really just summarize the big things. Obviously, House Bill 4173, the Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act of 2009, it was was all over the news that this passed the House on Friday. So this is 1,279 pages. No, I have not read them all yet. For all of you who are hoping I'm going to do that for you, I will eventually. We're getting there. We've done our search for keywords. But it does it does create this Consumer Financial Protection Agency. It also adds several pieces that apply to Wall Street, you know, so, like regulating derivatives, some safeguards for those investors, some SEC powers. It creates this kind of too-big-to-fail definition, sets some standards for mortgage lending practices that's going to outlaw predatory lending, which so many states have already, but here we go again to try and come up with a definition of what's a good loan for a borrower. So that, to me, is one of the challenges in the regulation, is trying to get to the bottom of what is the CFPA authority going to be, and subsequently, you know, what is going to happen with this definition of what is predatory. So that's the big news right now, is watching this thing work its way through. From another standpoint, so for those of you wondering when is that going to impact you, that one's a little ways off, but boy, I can expect this one's got a lot of fire under it. You should look that we may be subject to some of this by the second quarter of next year. We'll have to wait and see. then we also are watching the 21st Century FHA Act, 3146. There hasn't been any action on that. 5% down FHA, there was also a bill to implement that. That's not moving anywhere. What we are watching are some proposed rules for you. The HUD has issued a proposed rule for modifications to the SAFE Act. Those of you already loan originators getting licensed now by your individual states, those are going to now officially be overseen by HUD, which until now they really haven't had a lot of authority over that. So we're reading through, digesting that to be able to see what's going to impact you. And I think the biggest thing is some states didn't get all the way into the program yet. So HUD's going to be making sure these states meet all the minimum requirements for background check, minimum amount of education that you're going to have to take, and so forth. And they're also going to make sure and take a look at the possibility that even those in servicing doing loan modifications would have to be licensed. So a lot we're going to watch on that. Yes.
Is interesting.
The last proposed rules, the change to FHA lender approval requirements, that comment period is going to expire December 30th. Dave, I know we've talked a lot about this on the previous shows. And so we're looking at watching the lender approval requirements change. What that means is FHA is proposing to eliminate the sponsorship level, so eliminate loan correspondent approvals. You will either be a supervised mortgagee with a $1 million net worth, or you will not be directly approved by FHA. I believe we talked about that in the last program on how that's going to impact you. This one, we can absolutely expect to see some movement on early in the part of next year. So this will be affecting you all soon. And then, as we've been tracking for you, the Home Secure Credit Reg Z, December 24th is your last day to get in your comments. So far, there are over 2,800 comments. This is the bill that will change loan officer compensation and change APR. So just a heads up on that piece.
Whew, that is a biggie. And that's, let's go back to the one on the proposed rule for changing approval requirements, FHA lender approval requirements. How many, you said, mentioned this last week, Alice, it is estimated that it can affect up to how many thousands of mortgage originators?
Yeah, the numbers that we're going by, this is based on Commissioner Stevens' testimony, was what percentage of FHA lenders currently approved have a net worth that's less than $1 million, and it's estimated that that is over 10,000 companies, and there are only just under 14,000 approved. So it affects a lot of companies.
Wow, 14,000 companies are approved, 10,000 companies are going to be impacted at. And they're getting additional staffing, so that so there may be a lot of staff handling a much smaller, reduced number of individuals or companies out there. That's interesting.
And I just wanted to add on that, since we were talking about that, is just that I was at a meeting with HUD last week. I did sit and talk with Vicki Bott, Meg Burns, and Joanne Kuzma there, Vicki Bott being the Deputy Assistant Secretary of FHA. And in that conversation, is this lender approval piece going forward? The answer is yes, look out, it is going forward. But the industry is trying to impress upon them, we need some more guidance on if wholesalers are going to be responsible for approving brokers, we need some guidance on what is that minimum requirements we should be asking of those mortgage brokers and lenders that wholesalers would be buying loans from.
And it'd be just like them to pass regulations and say there's penalties if you don't comply, but you know what? The rules are a little bit sketchy, so you got to figure it out. So that's not good.
Exactly.
We need a lot of clarity on that. Anything more for the update here before we move out to the next segment?
Those are the main updates for now.
Thank you so much for bringing it to us. Only 1,279 pages, Alice. Man, I tell you, that's a light reading day for you. Thank you so much. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this word.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals,
providing classroom and web-based delivery,
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record, performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees, both live and online, on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lincoln on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lincoln.
Thank you and welcome back. Appreciate you tuning in with us and being here each week. Listen to all the information that's going on in the industry. By the way, mention it to your MI reps. Mention it to the various companies that are coming and talking to you through and walking through your doors, is what I'm trying to say. And tell them, hey, we got this information from the Lincoln on Lending radio program. Here's the contact information. Email it around. We appreciate it so much. As we do each week, we cover rates on a quick segment on rates, and we do a quick segment on the legislative update or the traffic report, all that's going on out there. And then we start really getting in and digesting a lot of the details we've gone over, whether it be the rates and the legislative update or whatever seems to be the hot topic of the week and what we have coming up. This week, we're kind of continuing on with what we've been talking about in the area of regulations. And so, Joe and Alice, let's kick back. A lot of people say this is the part of the program that they really value. They say, you know what, we're pretty smart. We read all this stuff. But, man, you really help bring out the important aspects of these various bills and other pieces of information that we really need to focus on and bring a perspective. So let's get into a discussion on that. Go ahead, Joe.
I was just going to bring up, I know Alice touched on it in the update about House Bill 4173, but part of that has to do with regulating the derivatives marketplace.
Yes.
And I don't know much detail as to how that might happen. I doubt anyone quite knows how that's going to happen at this point. But the derivatives market are a big part of how our industry hedges their risk. And I'd sure hate to see, you know, when you introduce a new regulator into an environment, I don't think it's going to be made easier. I think that things will probably wind up being restricted in some regard. So just to put a little word of caution out there that's going to begin to build and that regulator is going to need to do something. And so those of you hedging, just keep up with it.
Yeah, it's so important. A lot of the people are heading into the hedging. They're outsourcing their hedging. Joe, as you well know, that's a very common thing today for to find someone that has the expertise and the level of knowledge necessary to do a good job of hedging. They can't find the talent, or if they do, they're not sure about it. So a lot of people are relying on hedging firms. So a number of those hedging firms are listening to us each week and appreciate you doing so. So maybe we'll bring one of them on and help us digest that here in the next week or so. Good job on that. Let's go through some of the other issues that we did not get a chance to talk about in depth on the update, as that's just what it is. It's just a quick update. Let's dive into some of these. What are some of the more significant things in this 1,279 pages that you've just been able to begin to read that are significant?
Well, you know, I think the Consumer Financial Protection Agency, trying to figure out exactly what they're going to protect Americans from, still has to be defined and how they're going to work with existing regulators. So essentially, we're all going to get a new regulator added to the mix, and their responsibilities need to be defined. And, you know, we're still trying to wind our way through that. I think it seems inevitable that this agency is going to be created. There seems to be a lot of support behind this, but we aren't to the bottom yet of exactly what their scope of audit, you know, because what's going to happen in the end is what are they going to audit. Our challenge.
And this kind of feels a little bit like the single mom saying, you know, I've been dating Joe over here for a while, and we're finally getting married, and now Joe's going to be moving in. We got a new regulator on the scenery here, and you start looking at what is this, how this going to really impact us. And if they're a regulator, they have to find what to regulate. And I think it is blurred, and it's going to bring about a certain amount of confusion to the markets. And is that my domain? And it's just now one more entity in this already somewhat convoluted regulatory world. So
yeah, I think they eliminated the fact that, you know, every product's going to have to be vanilla, because some of the first drafts of this Consumer Financial Protection Agency was, you know, okay, that means we're only going to be able to offer 30-year fixed-rate loans, because this agency's going to have to approve every product before they roll it out. That's been pulled out and changed so that at least we don't have the same level of product control fear that we originally had in some of the original drafts.
There's got to be a little irony found in the fact that Consumer Financial Protection Agency is to simplify and make sure the industry simplifies and in very concise language explains their products and services to their customers. And it took how many pages? 1,279
right.
pages of legislation to do that.
Yeah, and it's, a big part of that, you know, when you go through this thing, a lot of it is about reining in executive compensation. It seems like a big chunk of the pages are devoted to that. The other part that is difficult to nail down is how do you say, again, in this, you know, outlaw predatory lending, how do you describe a loan that is a bad loan for a borrower? I mean, we've all had customers who come in and say, hey, I really want this cash out refi. I need this cash. And you might look and say, well, from a dollars-to-dollars standpoint, long-term it might not be a good investment, but they need it in the short term. So who's to decide if that's a benefit to the borrower? That's the challenge.
So it's not as well defined as the benefits, and a lot of it's going to come back to the benefits to the borrower is going to define a lot of move-forward regulation. And I think then the question is, in benefit, what term? There's a short-term benefit. I need the money now to bring things, keep things current, but then there's a long-term benefit is, you know, if things really go bad, as they have in this last market cycle, then it puts the borrowers upside down. So, I mean, it's really, you know, the confusion that's going to bring into the, you know, what is really good and defining what is in the best interest of the borrower. You have short-term interest and long-term interest. It's going to bring a level of complexity.
Yeah.
Is that the best way to say it?
Yeah. And I think right now, I think what people need to realize is this is just a House bill, you know, so it's not enacted yet. We don't have a date that this thing's going to become effective. We still need to get through the Senate. There's still a long way to go before any of this becomes something we have to start looking at dates for implementation.
Well, I think that's a really good point to bring out. And so the process of having your voice heard is one that cannot be underscored enough here. And a lot of people I talk to that are calling in and get a chance to visit with as I go across the country, there seems to be, Joe and Alice, a real almost complacency or hopelessness. What can I do about it? I'm just this peon out here in Timbuktu that does not have any – they're not going to listen to my voice. Well, you know what? That's not true. They are asking for feedback. And the fact that they've gotten at least – what was it? 2,000 – I'm looking through your notes here, Alice, and I can't see it real quickly.
2,800 comments.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I mean, it's moving them. It's changed things already. So you cannot set aside your comments and feedback by saying that your comments are not going to be heard. They are being heard. They are being read. And to the extent that they're well crafted, work with others. Work with your state association. Work with your local association, whether it be the broker, the mortgage banker association. Get involved in the seminars. And they go, you know what, I'm so busy trying to keep my business alive, I don't have time. Well, I don't think you have time not to be involved in having your voice heard. Alice, a couple other things. Let's talk about creating the Financial Stability Council. Give us a little insights, any feedback or any insights there?
The Financial Stability Council, no, nothing on that one yet. Again, just kind of watching whether or not we need this type of a regulator to balance any kind of the risk that's going on out there. I think, you know, the other part that we're watching, some of the hot topics we're hearing from people is, you know, tell me what's going on with FHA and the FHA fund.
Yeah.
That is really starting to be a hot topic. Are they going to be changing the upfront mortgage insurance premiums? I think that is something, again, in our meetings last week with HUD, we did sit with HUD in one-on-one meetings, and this is something you have to be careful of. It is going to be coming down. There is going to be an increase in the upfront MIP, and it does look like there will be some kind of adjustment in one way or another in that maximum loan amount, but nothing technically published as of yet.
Joe, what do you think is the impact going to be on on an increased MIP?
Well, I was just going to offer that if you're a consumer out there and you're thinking that you might use FHA financing, well, I don't know when things are ever going to get better than they are right now. You look at where mortgage rates are, very low. They're going to go higher. It's just a matter of when. You look at home values are low, and they, too, will go higher, again, over some period of time. But all these changes that are coming are intended to make the FHA insurance fund safer, and they're going to be limiting. Some of you out there maybe aren't going to be concerned about the limit, but when they talk about raising the insurance, the upfront insurance, that's not going to be, at least Alice, let me ask, is there any risk component to that, or is that just going to be across the board increase?
It's not going to go to what, you know, people used to hear about risk-based premiums. Some people use the word risk-based pricing, but keep in mind FHA does not set prices. They're an insurance entity, so they do premiums, and that is not on the table. It would be a flat across-the-board increase, but it's sitting there with that FHA is looking at setting guidelines on a minimum credit score. Now, the news wires were all about that they're going to set a new credit score floor. In my discussions with FHA last week, it's going to be more along the lines of, if your score is below X, then here are the additional compensating factors that you need to make sure you have in the file. That's a tough thing for them to try and describe in underwriting. But, Joe, yep, to your point, absolutely, now's the time to get the loans before the changes occur. It's going to cost more, and the underwriting's going to be tighter.
And it may require a bigger down payment.
Well, and Dave, to the point you brought up before our call, then we see articles this morning on President Obama saying the banks need to loosen up.
Yes, we're going to talk about that. We're going to take a quick break and be right back, but we're going to open up that topic. The mixed signals our federal government can send to our poor bankers out there. We'll be right back after this word.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
Whether you need a new warehouse line, or making the transition from broker to banker, are interested in mergers and acquisitions,
or anything in between, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Welcome back. This is Dave Licken with Licken on Lending. We appreciate you staying in there. When you look at the board, we've got folks calling in from all over the country, East Coast, West Coast, North, South, East, West. Thank you so much. We always welcome you dialing in. Again, pass this on. If this is of value to you, please let us know and pass the word on. Thank you so much. As you were talking about, Alice, just a moment ago, and Joe, I sure love your feedback on this as well, we have the federal government, once again, Obama coming out and saying, you guys need to do more lending. And then we got the regulators out there going, you do more lending in this area, and we're going to require this and that, higher capital requirements. Joe, you used to be a banker. What's your thoughts on all this?
Well, I just got off the phone this weekend with a good friend who's a banker, community bank here in Texas, and He said they're getting beat up on by the regulators just for the fact that they have loans, and they're not about to add small business loans or commercial loans to their portfolio right now because of the signals that the regulators are sending. So I think somewhere somebody needs to get their lines fixed
together. Kind of get on the same playbook here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but Alice, you were saying that this is something that you're well, – in fact, it was, came out in a report. I think it was Joe before, on our pre-program that you actually saw an article that was posted. Is it this morning?
Oh, the Washington Post article,
yeah.
Huh? That,
yes.
That made the comment that the Obama administration felt like that the big banks weren't showing enough gratitude for what they'd done.
Were they supposed to send a thank you letter or something? What do you mean?
I don't know. They sent them back billions of dollars. You know.
Well, yeah, I think it's.
Yeah,
good.
If I pay you back, do I still have to thank you? I don't know. I'm confused.
I don't know. Yeah. Thank you for helping me put this money sticking away in this extra account. I didn't really need it, but I took it anyway. I'll tell you, a lot of these guys that took the money, they just can't get it back fast enough because they have the thought of, especially when you come into executive compensation, which Alice, you were talking about, and 4173 and some of the different areas that just this thing permeates into so many different areas. But let's talk about GFEs. There's a lot of talk about the new GFE, Alice. And on the program, on the pre-call or the pre-program call that we have each week, you were really getting into it and explaining, bringing out some good points that I really want our listeners to benefit from.
Well, we're all inundated with what I'm calling the GFE firestorm right now because all of a sudden now everybody's got to pay attention to it. We had the opportunity last week to speak with Gary Cunningham briefly. Gary Cunningham was the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Regulatory Affairs at HUD, and he's the one who's led the efforts to develop this RESPA reform rule. And, I asked him, I said, so are you happy with the way this is rolling out? Is this what you expected the industry reaction to be? And, his answer was, well, sure, there's going to be people who aren't happy with it. But the fact remains there was enough testing out there to say this form helps consumers. And so we're trying to get a positive message about it, get people to mentally just make the shift. But, boy, it's tough.
Well, it is, but the reality, it's here, and it you've just got to get used to this new good faith estimate. It's not going away.
No, and I think, as everybody sits and tries to line up, here's my old form, where does that fee go in my new form, and then now how do I explain this to the borrower, where this thing is behind the scenes in this block, right? So if you say processing, underwriting, broker fees, origination points are all in block one, you just have to let go of the concept that you're going to need to explain everything behind block one because, frankly, the customer doesn't care. There are still some challenges with the forms, such as transfer tax, where you always have to show that on a purchase that make the bottom line inflated. But, again, that's salespeople learning how to sell. And, Dave, we've talked about it. People need to be experts now. And those who can't
yes.
step up to the plate to be an expert, well, those who can will have less competition.
That's exactly right. Joe, what's your thoughts on the new GFE?
It's just change. And as Alice explained earlier, it's better information for the consumer. It's a better chance for the consumer to compare one offer to another. And again, those who are best at explaining it, those who are best at selling themselves and their company's loan are going to win out because it's going to be a fair comparison. I don't know many loan officers who have been in the business a long time shy away from a fair comparison.
I think it's just a matter of change. Yeah, it does sound like there's aspects about this form that, change, while it's always difficult to digest and implement and getting it right and taking the time, why can't we just stick with the old? It's something we know. But this is intended to improve and bring clarity to that. That can be argued. But the reality is, argued or not, it's here. And I think the most important thing that, Alice, you brought out in the conversation we had before the program was, it's here. Get used to it. Dive into this thing and really become familiar with it. It's reality.
Yeah, and stop trying to think of how can I still give them my old form. We've got companies going, okay, well, I'll give them the new one, but can I give them the old one too? No, you can't do that anymore.
No.
You know, make some tools, develop some ways to communicate the funds to close issue, which is not answered on the good faith estimate. I think just as a tidbit too, some of the things companies are trying to work with is, how do I document my borrower's intent to move forward? One of the sticking points is the form is valid for 10 days, right? When I issue this, as long as the borrower issues an intent to move forward. So do I need to document my customer does not have an intent to move forward, and therefore that makes the GFE invalid, and I don't have to be stuck with those terms. So some companies are considering that form. It's interesting how the GFE's created like three other pieces of paper companies want to put in the file.
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
I was going to ask if in your conversations with the HUD officials in Washington last week, was there any discussion about the implementation of this, the idea that they weren't going to be very aggressive at enforcing the HUD for, what, some 3 or 4 months?
Well, you know, obviously that's just supposed to be that, you know, you've done everything right, and if we find some failures or inaccuracies that aren't systemic, then they'll be up for discussion to see, you know, exactly what would they require of you going forward, and that you would have to always prove that you had made efforts to make these changes and to become compliant. So that's why companies are scrambling now. They want to be able to prove they did something by January 1st. Those of you who can't make the deadline by January 1st, you still need to start using the form that day. You're just going to have to be careful as to how many mistakes you're making, and you've got to stop that right away and put some controls in place. I don't know if the realtors are ready for the closing delays that may occur.
Yeah, it's an important point. I think the thing that what I'm hearing, and I know, being a good originator for many years myself, I know I kind of hear, okay, that means here's what you can almost conjure up and hear if you want to hear. It's not accurate.
Yeah.
And that is, well, that really means I really don't have to get serious about this for several months. No, that is not what we're saying. That's not what the feds are saying, or the FHA is saying. They're saying, absolutely, we're serious about it. But if you're struggling with it, in other words, we don't see any good attempt at all, that's another matter. But if we see that you're making a very good attempt to get this implemented and you're messing up, we're going to give you some grace and mercy, which was encouraging. But that's not to be interpreted, Alice, if I hear you all correctly, that this means put it off for a while. Don't worry about it.
You're correct. And actually, the smaller your company is, the less you're going to be able to lean on, I couldn't get it done in time, you know.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that just because you're a big company, you get automatic waivers or excuses either. You have to reach your people and give them tools.
Yeah, it is so important. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back after this word.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's Schrott can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's Schrott has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's Schrott can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel's Schrott represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel's Schrott today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel's Schrott, the single source solution for your quality control needs.
And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lickin' on Lending Show.
Welcome back. We like to stress the fact we're here in Central Texas, kind of central to the whole USA. Joe and I are located here. Dallas is up. Alice and Andy Albee, who are our talented and much appreciated producer of this program, is up in the Detroit area. It's a little warmer down here.
Yeah, you lucky dogs.
We had a gorgeous 75 degrees. You know what? If you were inclined to play a little golf, you may want to try to do that this last week. Anyway, I want to say it's important. We bring up that Wetzel's Schrott spot. I mean, it's so important that you guys understand what the importance of compliance is. It is a failure. It is one of the kind of things that we see in so many companies that will save you so much troubles down the road. We're working, we're doing a lot for whatever reason. We're finding, as a consulting firm, I should step back up and say this. As a consulting firm, we get invited into a lot of situations where something's already gone wrong, and we're being brought in. And we're looking at, a lot of the questions come, how did this happen? Why did it go, why did this go wrong? What could have been done to avoid this mistake, or this very expensive mistake in some cases? And it comes back to this. One of the things is people aren't paying attention to the QC report. That QC function is such an important part. We're thrilled to be in our great partnership with Jan Wetzel and the folks at Wetzel Trop. And I tell you, that is something, if you don't have a good QC system in place, you got to have one. Don't ignore it. Read the daggum thing.
Oh, and Dave, you know, I'm going to add to that by saying there are QC firms out there that you think you like because they're not writing you up. If you're not getting findings in your QC report and you're happy about that, something's terribly wrong. Because one of the things you'll find with Jan's reports is they're going to cite you for the stuff that you need to fix.
And you know what? It used to be, well, but it goes out to people. People see that. Well, you know what? I think what we're learning about this last cycle, there was a lot of warning signs that came out to us, Joe and Alice, that we just chose to ignore. And Joe, you've been a leader in the industry. You've been at the senior levels on the board of MERS and things of that nature. I mean, you know the importance of this sort of stuff. And the tendency in this last market cycle, where we enjoyed so much opulence and success, and quite frankly, a lot of wealth was created during that time, we saw just an absolute aversion to quality. And these reports are just so critical. Another area that we're turning up a lot on in our analysis of some of these situations going wrong is how absolutely messed up a lot of the accounting systems are out there. We have a service called CFOs to Go, and I'll tell you, we're actively in there and say, well, yeah, I don't worry about that. Well, first of all, that's you should stop right there. You should be concerned about it. Well, I don't worry about it because I've got a major CPA firm that does our audit. Well, first of all, they do an annual audit. You should be checking this thing out thoroughly throughout the month or throughout the year on multiple times. And the other thing is most people don't realize is an auditor is in conflict if they come in and try to provide you advice. You need to get to another firm that's a consulting firm like ours to get you sound advice about how your account should be organized, how you're doing your loan level accounting. Well, Alice and Joe, it's shocking to us, the number of firms that are not even doing any form of loan accounting. I mean, loan level accounting. It's just amazing to me.
Well, and branch level, how do you manage your operations if you don't know what each facility is costing, whether that facility on a loan level is producing profits, net profits for you? How do you price loans if you don't know that?
Well,
do it on a loan level, you can't spot problems. We were just at a company that just looked at things in aggregate, and they felt that, okay, well, if I came out to a positive number, I must be okay. Well, you know what? There's a lot that can be buried in that positive numbers that would be indicating to you you have a problem at a particular branch or with a particular LO.
That is so true. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize, but, you know, Joe was a CPA, passed the CPA exam. I don't know if you ever practiced that much, Joe, but I know you've got a strong background on that.
Six very long years.
it would be an eternity for someone with my personality to have to operate like that. That's why I'm so grateful. I've got a partner, Andy Schell. I mean, he just is so thrilled. And you know that he's a CPA, but he also loves this designation thing. And he's serious about it. He went out and got a CMB designation. So he's one of only 30 people in the country that has both a CPA and CMB designation. It's good to have that kind of knowledge. Again, it goes back to that saying my dad had a long time ago. Dave, you're pretty sharp, but if you're smart, you surround yourself with some really sharp people. So we've been able to do that. And I think it's so important whether you're talking, when you're running a business out there, you should be thinking the same thing. You know what? I think I'm pretty smart. But I really need to get in the kind of counsel, whether it be QC and or using services such as what Joe provides with his daily updates. And what's so nice about his updates is they come to you in plain English. I get a lot of newsletters, Joe, on the market, and a lot of the stuff they talk in marketese, and I go, sounds like it's really important information. Trouble is, I can't understand any of it. This was what I thought before I really took the time to really dive in and learn it all. But there's enough new people coming into the industry because the opportunities are being created that they need plain English feedback about what the most significant part of this business is, and that's interest rate predictions.
Well, and it being real time, Dave, and just a quick flash since we've been on this call, MBS prices have fallen from the high for the day to the low for the day. So some of that market volatility that we were talking about, still not a big move, so I don't mean to generate any panic out there, but it's important to know what moves the things that you're trying to sell, and that's mortgages at certain rates. So.
Well, and we keep going back to this, and I almost want to start getting this segment identified as Lickin's Soapbox, because I want to get on, stand on the soapbox and say, number one, folks, you got to listen. Join Alice and Joe, jump in there. You can play the amen corner, as we used to say here. We're down south where there's a lot of Baptists, so we can go to amen corner as one of those expressions we have down here. But, I mean, the reality is there a better time to be in this industry? You shouldn't think about it, Joe and Alice. Is there so many people saying, getting discouraged and exiting? I don't want to do this. I can't. It's just the GFEs. It's just too confusing. There's just too much new. Well, I'm going to ask you, where else are you going to go make the kind of income that you've made here in mortgage lending? Don't leave the industry. We need you, folks. And here's the other thing. A lot of people are leaving the industry. No matter, they're not listening to this radio program, and they're not getting the admonitions from us, the encouragement from us, and saying it's not that difficult. And so they're just looking at the headlines and going, that's it, I'm done, I'm out, folding up this tent, going away. That is leaving, folks, a lot of market share. And Joe and Alice, I'd love to have you chime in this, but think about just in your community, how many companies have exited the business? And does that mean the industry is going away? I ask this question every single time I talk to anybody about this. Man, I'm thinking about exiting the industry. Well, I'm going to say, well, you can, but that's just going to leave that much market share for someone else. How many people in each of your respective communities, Joe and Alice, have exited?
That's huge, but Alice, probably more so in yours.
Yeah, I don't have an exact number. I know that we just hit up here in the Detroit area in Michigan, we hit over 15% unemployment rate. You know, it that part of the job loss market has dramatically impacted us. It'll take our values a long time before we start to see a recovery, but that doesn't mean there aren't people out there who need mortgages. And again, with some of the tools that have allowed you to reach outside your own boundaries, maybe you're in a situation like us where you're in a particular state that's a challenge, but you know, with so many opportunities across the country for you to reach people, I think one of the things people have to look at is, I need to get back to making sure I'm developing a relationship even though I have that internet reach. That's one of the things the GFE brings an advantage to. People are seeing this, the sales companies we've talked to are seeing this as a way to spend time with the consumer, gain some loyalty back for referrals and for their application, and maybe a lower fallout rate.
I think it's so important that referral business, developing a database. You know, those good times we had so many people coming through our doors, we could hardly find the time to get the applications taken. It is important that you continue to develop that, what we refer to as a universal database. And so I believe one of the persons just texted me, did you say 15%? Someone wrote me and said, did she say 50%? I said, I think you said 15%. Is that correct?
1-5. Yeah, 1-5.
Yeah, 1-5.
15.
It's not that bad. It's not good up there, but it's not that bad. And so, yeah, 1-5 is 1-5, 15% is the unemployment up there. So just make sure everyone heard that correctly. Well, I tell you, as we wrap up this program, Alice and Joe, let me just open it up for any parting comments that you have. We just got a few minutes left.
I just say that change creates the opportunity for those who can plan for it and prepare for it and deal with it the best, and there's a lot of that going on, but that's all part of what you were saying, Dave. It's there's a great opportunity for those that can do it well.
And I'm going to say to those on the QC side, for those of you who think you know everything going on in your company, think again that now is the time to look in the closets, look under the rocks, make sure you know everything so that you can succeed and you don't find that compliance is something that comes up and bites you from behind.
It is also one of the things that, you know, is when the industry does slow down, and I think this is going to have a bit of an impact. We're going to see funding volumes drop in 2010 a bit. I don't think they're going to fall as far as some predict. It may be wrong, but even no matter where they're at, it's a good time to sit down and spend that time examining internally, looking introspectively inside of your company as what could we be doing better. We hope that you'll be using us, this program, Lickin' and Lending, as one of the vehicles by which you will begin to assess your future. As we wrap up the program today, we want to say each and every week, thank you so much for tuning in. We encourage you to pass the word around. Let people know about us and what we're trying to do. We don't charge for this. It's free service. I look at Alice and Joe, all the expensive seminars people can attend. Guess what? This is free. Dial in. We appreciate you being here each week. Let your friends know about it, and we look forward to talking to you here again soon. Have a great week, everybody. And remember, take this time to look inside of your operation. Have a great week, and talk to you soon.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. On the web at www.mortgagebankingsolutions.com. Today's guests were Joe Farr and Scott Sanderson from MBS Quote Line, delivering live mortgage-backed security prices as trades happen, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U, your ultimate education and information resource. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.